Blog Talk Radio.
Well, it is now the 8:30 hour. Time for Inspirational Wednesday Night Bible Study. Words of wisdom. Plain and simple. As always, it's an honor and a privilege to come before the people of God as we explore the Word of God together. I pray that each and every one of you had a great week and you've been pondering on the things of God, and the Holy Ghost has given you revelation and information that you couldn't acquire until you got the desire to search for yourself. It is always a privilege and an honor to come before the people of God with an assignment that God gave me. This is our Wednesday night Bible study, and I say that because I tell you guys often, this is not my Bible study, but it is ours. God has allowed this platform to go forward. We have been coming together for almost 6 years. Some of you have called in just about every week, and God honors that, and God say that the things that you do to give him glory and to commit yourselves unto you, he say there's always a reward attached. So I say thank you, and we're going to give God the praise which he rightly deserves. Our lesson tonight is coming from the book of Mark. We're going to be expounding on the 1st through the 20th verse. And the title of the lesson is, What Do You Do With the Word of God Once You Receive It? And I told you that we would talk on parables tonight. And this is the parable of the four soils. So I'm going to play a song so that we could get ready to go into the lesson. We're going to come back with prayer. And I'm so glad I see that my grandson has called in. And he's going to bring us to the throne of grace. I just have to tell y'all, I'm just so excited that my grandson is in the position that he is, with realizing what is important, and he puts God first in his life. So right now I'm going to play the song, and the song I think is so appropriate because I've been talking to so many people this week that have been calling me about different situations and adversities and tribulations that they are faced with. Some is health, some is finances. You know, it's all kind of things. But I came to tell you tonight, and I chose this record because I hope you could really understand that this battle is not yours. It belongs to God. So once we finish the record, we're going to come back and go to the throne of grace, and we'll expound on the word of God together. Be prayerful and pray for my grandson as he's going to come before you. Thank you.
What are you trying to say, Yolanda? Look, forget about all that other junk. This battle ain't yours. It's the Lord. Think about it. And then start shouting. Thank you. If you don't understand anything, know that you've been set up by God to be blessed. Understand that it's got to work this way. Understand that God knows.
God knows. God knows what you need before you really need it.
He knows how to move you. He knows how to take you around the enemy. He knows how to hide you in the comfort of his arms. You'll have peace that passes understanding. You'll have joy like a river ever flowing. This battle is not yours. No. Tell the devil.
Should be encouragement to you guys. You know, God is in the midst of everything that's happening in our lives, and nothing take God by surprise. He's either allowing it or orchestrating. So just hold on, because God is right there in the middle of everything. And when you can't hear his voice, just trust his plan, because he's God and he do understanding. At this time, we're going to go to the throne of grace. Like I said earlier, my grandson is on the line, and if someone else would like to pray as well, you could press the one button. But I'm going to open the mic now, and I'm going to let my grandson go forth, being used by the Holy Ghost, ushering us in to the throne of grace. Good night, Madison. Hello, Madison.
Yes, ma'am.
You want to say anything to the people tonight?
No, ma'am.
You would like to pray for us tonight?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, you could go.
God, thank you for the tool that you gave us, the Bible, to allow us to learn things about your son and the fables and tales that you want to teach us, and things that we should know before we go to heaven, and things that will teach us how to go to heaven and let us know that we will go to heaven. Thank you, God, for all you have done for us in this earth and given us a nice life to live until we go to heaven and see you. And when we see you, King, give us all the knowledge and stuff that we didn't have on earth, and give it to us in there so we will know everything, even though we forget everything in earth. We want to be all wisdom and power up there. Thank you, God. And please, a lot of people down here to know about you and to understand about you so they can go to heaven, because you know that you want all of your children to go up there in heaven with you, God. Thank you, God. And please allow us to teach others and share the word. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Madison, so much. Madison had a birthday the other day, and for those who's been on the program, Madison started preaching. Madison started praying on the program when he was 9 years old. And on this week, or last week, Madison made 14 years old. He graduated from middle school, and he's now going to go to senior high school next year. So as always, I ask that you all pray for my grandson, not just my grandson, but all of our boys and girls. We need to be praying and lifting them up, dear God, because this is an evil world. Thank you, Madison.
You're welcome.
All right. There are more callers that have called in. And so what I'll do is say the title of the lesson again, and then we'll get to start expounding on the Word of God. The title of the lesson is, What Do You Do with the Word of God Once You Receive It? And I believe, well, I know that each one of us would have to answer that question for ourselves. But this is a parable of the four soils. You know, last week I said we would do three parables. Last week we did the parable of the talents. Tonight is the parable of the four soils. And we are coming from the book of Mark, the fourth chapter, the first through the 20th verse. And as always, I give background. So last week we talked about parables and we gave the meaning and we said that it was 37 parables all together in the Bible. And many of the parables start with saying the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. Jesus was teaching, and this was after the Sermon on the Mount, so it was getting close to the end of his teaching and his ministry before he was crucified. And he started talking in parables so the people could really get it. And, you know, they're listed in the Bible. So if you read it and you could comprehend what it's saying, it would make the light come on. Last week I told you that a parable is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. You see, when Jesus was talking, he used people, places, and things that you are familiar with that is seen on earth to explain the truth concerning the kingdom of heaven. And some people say the kingdom of God. So when you see the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God, they're sort of the same things. You see, the kingdom of God is a spiritual rule over the hearts and lives of those who are willing to submit to God's authority. Those who defy God's authority and refuse to submit to him, they are not a part of the kingdom of God. So if you have accepted Christ and you look at him as the ruler of your life, the Lord, your master, and your king, you're in the kingdom. You see, in contrast, those who acknowledge the lordship of Christ and gladly surrender to his rule. Hallelujah. You are a part of the kingdom. You see, in this sense, the kingdom of God is spiritual. Now, you know, when Jesus come back and after the last judgment, and Jesus come and make the new Jerusalem on earth, we know that Jesus is going to reign, and that's his kingdom. Many times in the Bible, the people wanted him to be their earthly king. He said, this is not my kingdom. And when they thought Jesus would come and take care of the Romans who was suppressing them, and they wanted him to come and make everything different. And when they found out that he was not accepting to be an earthly king, they had no use for him and started the process to crucify him. That was the people. And, of course, the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the scribes, and the Republicans, they didn't like him around because, you see, they was the smart ones. They wanted all the accolades. They wanted to be looked upon as something so special, and Jesus was taking some of their attention from them. And they decide to kill him. But when we look at this, we have to realize that we are kingdom children if you accepted Christ. And the kingdom is not the earthly kingdom, and it's not the kingdom that we're going to experience in eternity. But we are in the kingdom because we have a spiritual desire in our heart to accept him as ruler of our lives. From this point on, when we look at the parables in Jesus' ministry, when he spoke in parables, he explained them only to his disciples. But those who had continually rejected his message was left in spiritual blindness to wonder as to the meaning. See, so many people heard his word and they were so indifferent about it, they'll never get it. Same thing with us. If we're not, you know, concerned with the things of God and looking for the spiritual in the earthly, we won't get it. But he made a clear distinction between those who had been given ears to hear and those who persisted in unbelief, or they were indifferent hearing, but never actually perceiving, and always learning, but never able to acknowledge the truth. You see, that's what happened with us when we walk around and we get a little bit of word here and a little bit of word there. I'm not going to go into that because that's in our lesson tonight, and it's going to cover all of that. But remember what I just said. There are many that are ever learning, but they never coming into the knowledge of the truth. And I believe each and every one of us knows someone like that. And I'm not talking for someone to become perfect, but even in the simple things of God, they don't have it. You see, the four selves represent four different ways people respond to God's message. You see, this parable should also encourage spiritual farmers. You're going to see that there was talking about a farmer, but the farmer in the lesson is someone who spreads the word. You see, you should be encouraged because spiritual farmers is those who teach, preach, and lead others to Christ. You see, the farmer sowed good seed, but not all the seed sprouted, and even the plants that grew had various yields or return. You see, and I come to encourage you tonight, don't ever be discouraged if you do not always see results as you faithfully teach the word. You see, some people do not understand God's truth, and because they are not ready to receive it. You know, everybody get it at their own time. You see, but God reveals truth to the people who will act on it, who will make it visible in their lives. When you talk with people about God, be aware that they will not understand it if they're not ready. You can lead a horse to the water, but you can't make him drink. And I encourage you tonight to be patient, taking every chance to tell them more of the truth about God, and praying that the Holy Spirit will open their minds and hearts to receive the truth, and not only receive it, but act on it. You got to remember that your success is in God's hand. And we're going to go into the scripture now, and we're going to start with Mark, the 4th chapter, verses 1 through 20. I pray that you have your Bibles. If you do, open it to the book of Mark. And I'm reading from the King James Version. If you got a different interpretation, it's okay, but I want you to know it's the, you know, you'll be in the right place. And the scripture reads, as he began again to teach by the seaside, and there were gathered unto him a great multitude, so that he entered the ship and sat in the sea, and the whole multitude was by the sea of the land. In other words, Jesus was teaching. It got so crowded, he got in a boat and just went out a little bit and sat in a boat and taught, and all of the people was on land. And he taught them, saying many things by parables. And he said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it. And some fell on stony ground, where it had not much earth. And immediately it sprung up, because it had no depth of earth. Y'all follow me? You remember a parable is an analogy when he used earthly things. He's speaking about a farming, what they do, because they was familiar with farming. And they remembered how they were familiar how they farmed. So he's using this analogy. He's lining it up, a farmer, up, and you'll see with what. Sixth verse. But when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. Seven. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground, and did yield fruit that sprung up, and increased, and brought forth some 30, some 60, and some 100. And he said unto them, he that has an ear to hear, let him hear. After many of his parables, he said that same statement. I want you to know that compared to Jesus' earliest teaching, you know, he had taught the Sermon of the Mount, and when he got through, Jesus turned to parables, which seems odd. He used clear instruction to teach his followers how to live and about the kingdom of God, and he exhibited the kingdom in a tangible way. He was showing you how to live in the kingdom, how to let God rule in your heart, and for him to be the Lord of your life. That's why they say you have to recognize Jesus as your Lord at some time or another. But suddenly, when the crowd came near to him, he hopped into the boat and he spake in parable story about sowing seed. Jesus is now on the boat and the crowd is on shore. And it's just me interjecting so you could get a visual. You could let your imagination picture this, you know. When you're reading the Word of God, can you try to allow your imagination to put you there? And this is me saying this now. They may have been a farmer sowing seed, and Jesus used this imagery to convey his message. In this parable, the sower is the farmer, which represent an analogy of Jesus. But I want to let you know that a sower is also anyone that teaches, preaches, or share the word of God with others. And the question I could ask you tonight, are you a sower? You see, the sower sowed seeds, and the seeds here represent the word of God. Where the seeds fell on the soil is describing four different types of people hearing the same word and how they handled the word once they heard it. You see, seeds back then were sown by hand. As the farmer walked across the field, he drew a handful of seeds on the ground from a large bag slung across his shoulder. Come on now, we're talking way back then now. You see, the plants did not grow in neat rows as accomplished by today's planting machines. No matter how skillful the farmer was, it would not guarantee that some wouldn't go by the wayside from being scattered among the rocks in the patch with the thorns are being carried off by the wind. So the farmer would throw liberally and enough and pray that enough of the seed would fall on good ground to ensure the harvest. You see, we have to stop just hearing the word of God and doing and start doing the instruction that the word is giving us. How you handle the word of God once you have heard it determines what it will do for you. God wrote the word of God for you. And what it'll do for you in your life? Will the word take root? Have the word matured you? Has it strengthened you? Has it helped you to guard your heart? Does it teach you how to hold on to the confession of your faith? Because, see, the word can restore your joy and give you peace that surpasses all understanding. Or does it have no effect on you at all? And even with me saying that, I have to back it up a little bit and say, do you have any word in you? You see, because if it's not in you, it can't come out you. The Holy Ghost's job is to bring to our memories the things of God when it's necessary. You know, like late in the midnight hour when all hell and broke loose and you don't know which way to turn and you walking the flow back and forward and in a quiet, still voice you will hear within your spirit, it's going to be all right. I got this. The battle is not yours. You see, but the Holy Ghost can't give it to you unless you put it in you. So if we look at the next verses, verse 10, 11, and 12, the scripture read and says, and when he was alone, they that were about him with the 12, talking about these disciples, asked of him the parable, asked them him to explain it. And he said unto them, it is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God. There's the kingdom of God again. But unto them that are without, all these things are done in parables, that seeing they may see and not perceive. It's not like God don't want them to understand and receive the things of God. But if they indifferent about it, if they don't care about studying his word, if they don't care about knowing him, they won't understand it. Because 12 say, that seeing they may see and not perceive, and hearing they may hear but do not understand, lest at any time they should be converted and their sins should be forgiven. Converted, accepting Christ. Let him come into your heart. And then your sins will be forgiven. You see, our Lord Jesus understood the truth is not sweet music to all ears. Simply put, there are those who have neither interest or have no regards in the deep things of God. So why then did he speak in parables? He did it for those who have a genuine hunger for God. The parable is both effective and it's a memorable vehicle for the discovery of divine truth. A simple story with a big meaning. You see, our Lord's parables gain great volume of truth. And in his parables is rich in imagery and not easily forgotten. You see, when you hear a parable and you get the true meaning of it, you won't forget it. So then, the parable is a blessing to those who are willing, who have willing ears, but to those with dull hearts and ears that are slow to hear, the parable is also an instrument of both judgment and mercy. See, God didn't even leave them out, because he's going to keep teaching, because it's his perfect will that all sorts of men be saved. But the question tonight is, what do you do with the word of God once you receive it? And if we look at verses 13, 14, and 15, they read as follows. And he said unto them, know ye not this parable? And how then will you know all parables? He said, come on, let's get it. So anytime you see a parable in the Bible, you will know how to attack it, and you could see how God is doing his thing. You see, but he went on to explain it to him. The sower sows the word. So the sower was the farmer, but we know it's Jesus, and they sow the word. And these are they by the wayside, where the word is sown. But when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and take away the word that was sown in their hearts. You see, the wayside is a path that is often trotted on. You remember when you was young and where you live in your community, when communities was community, and sometimes the corner store was on the street behind the street you was on, but everybody went on a little path, and they could take a shortcut and get to the store. And you could still see that path, because by them keep walking on it and trampling on it, the ground get hard, and you see the grass don't even grow there. That's how it become a path. That's what's called the wayside. You see, so much traffic, the soil becomes hardened and unable to receive the seeds. I want to tell you that this is a person that has allowed his heart to become hard. They don't meditate on what they heard. They don't study what has been said. And really and truly, they are indifferent to it. They are called the ones that are unresponsive. You see, you got to remember this. Satan is sitting in a gap ready to snatch it. You know, it could be like a person that goes to church and say that, man, the service was so good today. And then you ask them, what did the preacher talk about? What scripture did he come from? What was the text? And they can't tell you what scripture. They say, I don't know what it was. I don't know what text and all of that. But all I know that it was good. Or they are those who get out their cars on Sunday morning and bring their Bibles in the church on Sunday. They get out of church, they get in their car, they turn around, place their Bibles on the back seat in their cars, and then when they don't take it out again until next Sunday service. That's when the seed is going by the wayside. Because, you know, you got to ponder on the word of God. And the Bible teaches us and encourages us to meditate on it day and night. That's how we're going to grow in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We can't just get a little bit now and maybe a little bit then. You know, we have to do better than that. That's the ones where the seeds fell on the wayside. And I want to let you know tonight, every one of us is in one of these categories. So truly evaluate yourself, because that's why I say it. This lesson is for us to grow. That's why Jesus taught. And if we look at 16 and 17, and it says, these are likewise, and these are they likewise which was sown on stony ground, who, when they have heard the word, immediately receive it with gladness, and have no root in themselves, and so endure it but for a time, a little while. Afterwards, when affliction, persecution arise for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. You see, these are the people that, you know, it fell on that type of ground. You see, the stony ground is covered with rocks, which don't allow seeds to take root. They're saying these are people that are impulsive. They immediately receive the word of God with gladness, but they don't count the cost, and they have no root. You know, these are the people the Bible speaks about. They say they have a zeal, but it's not according to knowledge. They believe, and they hyped up, and they all gearing to go, and not even figure they got it, and everything is Lord, Lord, and Jesus, Jesus. They believe for a while, but as soon as something happened that they didn't want to happen, they defect from the truth. This rejection of the gospel is a speedy. It's as they received it speedily, and they rejected just as fast. You know, these are the people that live by the theory of happy. You know, happy only happens when something we want to happen happens. So God teaches us in the book of James and all over the Bible that we should have joy. We should know the word so our joy can be fulfilled. You see, if you get something you want, you happy. But if something come your way that you didn't want, you're not happy. Happy is like perfume. You could put it on and you could take it off. But you see, joy can stand alone in the midst of the trials and tribulation. You see, happy is washed away with the storm. But joy can stand the test of the storm. It's all right to be happy, but you better have you some joy, because happy has a tendency of walking away. And if we look at 18 and 19, and it says, and these are those which are sown among the thorns, such as hear the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things enter and choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. You know, all of us know how thorns choke and destroy a healthy plant. You see, these are the people that are preoccupied with the things of the world. And the Bible describes the world as lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They are allowing thorns to have their way in their lives, and it's no fruit. You know, the Bible talks about money, and plenty of people say money is the root of all evil. Ain't nothing wrong with money, but we have to do everything with a balance. And we can't decide to get money at any cost when we cheat and we greedy and we do things that we shouldn't, like people in the world. You know what people do for money. When you get preoccupied with that, the lust of the flesh, You know, that could be sex. That could be overeating. That could be addiction. When you get preoccupied with that, the lust of the eyes, wanting everything that you see, and you become, that gives you a covetous spirit and a pride of life. The Bible says there's always destruction with pride. You see, these are allowing the thorns to have their way in their lives, and there are no fruit. And if we look at the last verse, and it reads, and these are they which sown on good ground. Hallelujah. Such as hear the word and receive it and bring forth fruit. Some 34-fold, some 60-fold, and some 100. Can anybody see fruit in your life? That's when the seed has been sown, the word of God, and you hear it and you receive it. That's how you bring forth fruit. You see, the word of God produces fruit. Those who know the word of God, which is the seeds in a parable, they believe it and become doers of the word, are those soils, the people that bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100. You see, the word says, if someone can see your fruit, they will know your faith. You know, the word of God say, let your light so shine that sin, that let your light so shine that men could see the good works and glorify the Father in heaven. Hallelujah. You don't have to go around with a sign or a t-shirt in your, you know, a t-shirt on with I love Jesus. If you love Jesus and you producing fruit and the word is operating in your life, you don't have to announce it. People will see it. Because the Bible say, try the Spirit by the Spirit and let your light so shine. Is your light shining today? You see, the ones that the seed fell on good ground, these are the people who know that God will never leave them nor forsake them. So knowing that God is with them, they're all right. Sometimes we go through problems and situations, the word teaches us to not worry. But we do. But these are the people that know he will never leave us or forsake us, and no matter what the situation is, they are right. When they are going through, they realize that God is bringing them to. Not everything you think you're going through, God is sometimes bringing you to. Because, you see, God uses situations, circumstances, adversity, trials, and tribulation to mature us. And just like with Job, sometimes it's only a test. Hallelujah. And you should know that these battles are not yours, as the song said earlier. They belong to the Lord. You see, these are the ones that realize that nothing can happen to you unless God allows it or orchestrates it. And it's never our will, but it's God's will. See, you got to get that. You got to realize that it's not all about you, and you're not afforded the privilege to make it up the way you go. God has a master plan that was formulated before the foundation of the world. He said in Psalms 139 how he formed you in your mother's womb. He had an intended purpose for you, a will for your life. It's in the master plan, which is the word of God. The seeds are being planted. What are you doing with the word once you receive it? You see, these are people know that their strength comes by applying the word of God in their life. You see, they learn to be content in whatever state they're in because they realize that God is working everything out for your good. You see, these are the ones who know where even wherever God guides you, the provisions are already in place to accomplish his intent and give you the success. God never set you up to fail. You know, they say plenty of times when they meditating, "For I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul know it right well." See, for you to say that, you have to realize that you are unique. There are no twos alike. There are no twos of you. And you are special. But tell you something else by not studying the word of God. Until you know who your maker is, you'll never know who you are. That's why there's so many people on, you know, walking around looking for love in all the wrong places. When God created us, he left us a spot in us that only he can fill. Come on now. You see, these are the people who enjoy taking care of God's business, knowing that if they took care of his business, he would take care of theirs. Come on, y'all, that's what the word of God does. They are the ones that know that everything belongs to God. The scripture said, "The earth is the Lord, the fullness thereof, and everything that dwells therein." In that parable we had on last week, it talked about a man going to a far country, and he gave his servants talents, 1 5, 1 2, and 1 1, and he was coming back. And when the man came back and he asked his servants, in a sense, "What have you done for me lately?" You see? Look how God taught that, and look how we do the lesson tonight. You got to connect them dots and see the hand of God. Hallelujah. Because it all goes together. God has an eternal message. And he used all of this to get to it for you. You see, the ones that fell on good ground, they are the ones that know that everything belongs to God, like I said. And we are only stewards. Steward is someone that take care of something that belongs to someone else until they come back. So the steward will want to know and, you know, do a checkpoint is to see what you was doing with your time, your talent, your resources, and gifts. Have you been using it for the glory of God and doing as the greatest commandment, loving the Lord thy God with all your heart, your soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself? Do you use it for the glory of God? And there's a scripture say, "Which is only our reasonable service until Jesus come back." And the scriptures let us know when he come back, he's going to have a reward in his hand. You know, when Jesus take the believers back with the rapture, and you go to the judgment seat of Christ, he's not going to be judging if you're saved or not saved. The only way to get to the judgment seat of Christ is you already saved. And you remember, Jesus took away our sins, so why would he be judging your sins? And there's so many people believe that. There's a great final judgment after that where it would be determined if you go up or down, but not at the judgment seat of Christ. When Jesus picks us up in the air, that's going to be the ones who already received him and are saved. So when we go before the judgment seat of Christ, he's going to look at what have you done. He would look at your deeds. He would see what you did with what he gave you. And I come to tell you good news tonight. Jesus will only judge you on what he has given you. You saw in the talents in the parable last week, he gave some 5, some 2, and some he gave 1 1. And the scripture kept telling us he only gave on their ability. So he's not going to judge you because you can't be me. And he's not going to judge me because I can't pray like you pray. I can't sing like you sing. I can't teach like you teach, because God knows our ability, and he knows what he has put in each and every one of us. And it's up to us, because last week's lesson was God is looking for a return on his investment. You see, the ones that was on Good Sarah, they know that the Word of God, which is the Bible, has 66 books. That is our daily instruction for daily living and should be our moral compass. You got to look at what compass you're allowing to guide your everyday life. It's either going to be the things of God or the things of this world. And I come to tell you, the man sowed the seeds, and the seed is the Word of God. And if we do not do what is necessary with the Word of God, we can't have no effective results. Because you see, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It goes on to say it corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. Our moral compass. You see, the more you put in, the more can come to you. You know, I feel good sometimes. I'm thinking about something crazy and the Word of God come across my mind. I say, thank you, Holy Ghost. But if you ain't got no word, there is no filter to help you to turn away from what you may be thinking. You got to have word in you for it to come to you, for it to remind you, to come to your memory. You see, the only way that they know these things, that's the good soil, is because 2 Timothy 2:15 says, study, and let me do the NIV version. Do your best to present yourself to God as one approved, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, and who correctly handles the Word of God. King James has studied to show yourself approved. Are you correctly handling the Word of God? And the other thing, God has given us so many promises. He promised you that you would be the head, not the tail. He promised you that your latter would be better than your beginning. He promised if you keep your eyes stayed on him, he will give you peace that surpasses all understanding. He promised that you, even if you fell, he would pick you up. He promised that he is your shepherd and you should never want. In our Father prayer, he promised that he'll take care of our daily needs. But how would you know the promises of God if you never read it? And you have to stop just taking bits and pieces that people are telling you. The Bible says study for yourself. Meditate day and night. And if you don't know the promises of God, you can never expect the promises of God. So as I close tonight, I just encourage us. And with my encouragement, I'm not telling you that you're going to be perfect. Because if one of us could have become perfect, then everybody would have been able to have the same ability to be perfect. But because God in his ultimate wisdom knew that we could not, no matter how we tried, achieve perfection here on earth because of the flesh that we dwell in, He sent his son. Come on, y'all. And if we could, he wouldn't have had to send his son. But I call to encourage you, let us be better tomorrow than we were today. Let us think and do, you know, I don't know where everybody's at in their lives, but I'm asking that you take inventory on yourself and begin to be committed, steadfast, unmovable in the things of God, because your success is in the hands of God. And what you do with the word of God, once you heard it, will determine your quality of life here on earth. And that's the lesson tonight. And as always, if anyone would like to add something to it, or someone want to just give encouragement, or someone may want to just say one little minute thing like how or where they at in their life. You see, sometimes if you guys make comments one to another, you know, I say a lot of things, and y'all used to listen to me talk, but sometimes when someone else say it, you know, it may be taken differently. And you got to remember, when we talked about God giving the talents, and we talking about the soil, and we talking about sharing the word of God, and my grandson, I mean, you know, that was awesome when he say, you know, God has given us this, and we should share it with somebody. You know, he know that. And somebody may not receive it until you say it, because they would receive it from you better. So we have to be about our Father's business. And it's a thing they're talking about, farmers and seeds. And there's a scripture say that the harvest is plenty, but the laborers are few. And we have to keep in mind our great commission that says, go ye and teach, share the word of God with everyone. You don't have to know the whole Bible. Sometimes a person only need a kind word. Some people only maybe need encouragement. Sometimes all you have to say, this is the day that God has made. Sometimes you have to say, God is a good God. But each one of us have something to say. But it's up to us to begin to say it. So if anyone would like to say anything right now, I'll open the mic and you could speak. Anyone want to lead us out with prayer? You could press the one button. So I'm asking that you guys pray. One of our Bible study, Wednesday night Bible study, persons went in the hospital today and they had surgery. And I'm asking that you guys pray for her recovery. She's out of surgery. She's doing well. But I'm asking that you pray for her recovery. We have to learn to pray for one another. If anybody else would like to say anything, I'm just going to end with a benediction, which is the best one that I like, and it really lines up with the lesson today. Because if we look in the Bible in 2 Peter 3 and 18, which is the last writings of Peter once he had matured and became a strong man of God. And as he closed his writing, because he did 1 Peter and 2 Peter, the last scripture in 2 Peter 3:18 says, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He's urging us to grow, just like this lesson tonight. That was Peter's last word, and shortly after that he was crucified, and he asked to be crucified on the cross upside down because he had matured enough and he loved God enough and he gave reverence unto God that he didn't even want to hang on a cross the same way Jesus did. But Peter didn't start out like that. Peter was hot-headed. He was arrogant. He was stubborn. He was a fighter. But you see, once you keep getting the word and the word keep getting you, we grow in grace in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Pray for one another. Pray for the children. It's summertime. Pray for the sick and the shut in every way. Pray for those in prison. And if anyone does not know God and the pardon of their sins and would like to accept Christ, I don't have a church, but you can accept Christ and find a church home on your own. And if you a little shy and don't want to, say it on in the studio, you could call 504-289-9501. God bless each and every one of you, and God keep you until we meet again. And remember that God is one that can do us exceedingly abundantly more than we could ever ask or think. And with that being said, to each and every one of you, I say good night. I pray that you have a blessed week coming forward. And if it's the Lord's will, we'll meet back again on next week. Go in Christ and be blessed. And bless somebody else. Share the word of God with somebody this week. In Jesus' name, amen.